Green light. Green light. Okay. It's like that kid's game. Green light, red light, green light, red light. Okay, a lot of times, sometimes if you get a discussion with somebody, that they will be upset with God because he's not answering their prayers, and they say that he's silent to them. He's hidden. Okay, and he did say that to Israel, that when they didn't keep the agreement, he will hide from them, and he will be silent to them, and he did do that. And so the implications are with that, people are saying that if God would reveal himself to me personally, if I go out in the woods and say, God, show yourself, and then I have God, you know, they're claiming that they're going to follow him. No, they're not. They're not going to do it, because we have 3 million witnesses in the Old Testament that had God's evidence in the 10 plagues, in going over to the Red Sea, the crossing of the Red Sea, the audible voice, the verbal voice at Mount Sinai, the water from a rock, the quail for one day, all that quail that came in. And, of course, we know Israel, with all that great direction that they got from God, of course, they never complained. They did exactly what he wanted them to do, right? No, we have a testimony. They didn't. And so with what comes with all of that outward visible proof becomes a great responsibility. So in this case is an example of it. And then as we get into chapter 14, 15, 16, when Korah and company challenged Moses, okay, he had the earth swallow those people up. So when they had all this visible proof of God, what God's initial intention for Israel was that Israel chose as a people, so you got about 3 million people, which makes a nation or whatever, and they made an agreement at Mount Sinai, and it's a contract. It was a contract between God and Israel, and that contract became known as the Mosaic Covenant. So what makes a contract valid is you have an offer, you have consideration. Okay, that means one party is willing to do this, the other party is willing to do that. Then you have acceptance of the consideration, and then there's a mutual agreement, meeting of the mind. That's what makes a contract. So at Mount Sinai, God gave those Ten Commandments, which sort of kind of was like a marriage vow between God and Israel. When he said, take not the name of thy Lord in vain, he didn't say, speaking the Lord's name lightly. That's how we often interpret that. But I believe the taking of his name is the EL at the end of Israel is like the wife takes the name of the husband, and Israel took the name of God. And when they do not produce, he will not hold them guiltless. Okay? And there's an expectation there. And when you understand keep the Lord thy God first, no graven images. That makes perfect sense, because some people will say God's insecure, he doesn't want any challenges. No, it's just like a husband and a wife, is that you don't want your husband or wife to have the pictures in his wallet or her purse of a former or present girlfriend. That doesn't make a happy marriage. And so when Israelites chased after Chemosh and Molech and Baal and Ashtoreth, that's like a wife stepping out on God. And eventually that's why God divorced Israel, at least the 10 northern tribes. And then he was telling Judah, I'm going to do the same to you. Okay, and so this became an agreement between God and Israel. And what God wanted, his desire for Israel, was to be an example to all the Gentile nations. He wanted them to reach out to Gentile nations, say, okay, we made this agreement with God. This is the benefits we receive from it. If you can do something similar, you can receive the same benefits. He wanted Israel to be a priest to the nations. And, of course, they didn't do that. Okay, when somebody's given a special position, sometimes the position goes to their head, right? Public officials, sometimes that position goes to their head. They're supposed to be public servants. Now, Israel today, they think we are Gentile dogs. They think we don't have a soul. We're no better than a dog. And so when you go to Israel, when you make currency exchanges with them, you got to know the currency because they'll cheat you like anything because there's no sin in stealing from a dog. Okay, and so that's their viewpoint. Now, what the Lord's going to do, remember the Lord Jesus, his earthly ministry was primarily Israel. That's what he told the apostles, right? We are going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then on occasion, he would go to the Samaritans or the woman of Canaan. So that was on the side, but primarily Israel. Now, when the Lord comes back the second time, he's going to be under the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5, 6, and 7. That's introduced there. Melchizedek was a priest to Gentiles in Genesis 14. So the Lord is going to pick up what Israel failed. Israel's going to receive their earthly kingdom, but then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to minister to Gentiles in the millennial time period. Now, Paul, his ministry is mostly to us Gentiles. Okay, but when we get saved, we're neither Jew nor Greek. So there's a unique body with the Apostle Paul. So in Numbers 12, we have Moses' older sister, who's 13 years older than him. Aaron is 3 years older than him, so Moses is the third born. Okay, and so Miriam complained about Moses' wife. You know, wonderful in-laws, you know, as far as this goes. You know, the wonderful unity with in-laws. And she doesn't like it. Okay, and again, in this situation, when a person marries, when they marry, they get to recognize that you're now going to have to reach out and influence a family or allow them to keep the close ties with their family. Ruth is a very unusual case where she left her Moabitess life to come into the life of Naomi. She's a very unusual individual. So Numbers 12, you got Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Okay, so what? They're brothers and sisters. What brothers and sisters, what are they for? I mean, they're there to show you your blind spots, right? So Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So this is, I don't know what happened to the first wife, the Egyptian wife. Maybe she's off the scene because he lived to be 120. And if she's eating all that Egyptian food, that rich food, maybe she didn't make it that far. Okay, so then so they're griping about this. Moses is the one that God chose to be the leader of Israel. He chose Aaron to be a spokesman. Miriam wasn't chosen to do anything. But Miriam is the one that took care of Moses when he was a basket case. And she's the one that got him being taught by Potiphar's wife, or I'm not sorry, but the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, so she's the one that kind of watched that situation. So Miriam, unfortunately, is stepping out of line. Okay, if she's got a problem with the Ethiopian woman, keep it to herself. She should just keep it to herself. But she's involved Aaron. And it looks like, as we read through this, Miriam is the instigator. Because she's the one that gets in trouble. When you get into the Korah, Dothan and Abiram, Korah's the instigator. And he's the one that got in trouble. Okay, and so then it says in verse 2, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Well, no, just the previous chapter, he wasn't being a hog of the leadership. He wanted everybody to speak as prophets of God. Okay, so they're being upset. Okay, they're upset about his leadership. Okay, so this is one thing you kind of learn in life, is that in order to influence someone, no matter what age, if they're older than you, there's a little different technique. If they're family, there's a little different technique. And this is where the Lord wants us to have wisdom. Okay, and so Miriam, possibly at this time, all she was viewing Moses is, that's my kid brother. I changed his diapers. She didn't look at him as, he's the leader God chose for Israel. Okay, and so, like, you know, okay, my brother comes here. My sister Joanne used to come here. Okay, Joanne, you know, moved about an hour away. And I think Mike was kind of telling you, you ought to drive over here. Okay, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. But Ronnie's 5 years my senior. After being here as a pastor for about 6 months, Ronnie Christie's going out the door. And I said, hey, Ron, I said, don't forget I'm your kid brother. I'm still your kid brother. When I come to the farm, I'm not pastor. You know, when I came to the farm at that time, I was still third on the totem pole. Dad, Ronnie, me. Aaron was four, but that booger is now three, and I'm down there. Okay, and so when Mom and Dad are here, I'm their pastor. Yes, I'm their son, but I'm their pastor here. And so there's different roles in life. And we got to be a servant to somebody in that role. Okay, and so sadly in this case, I do think Miriam forgot that. And a person can do that. Easy to do that. So the best way for a child to win his or her aunt to influence is to influence them in that role. Okay, so to keep in that role and influence them that way. And so that's how we want to view things. And there are times maybe you and another party will be in a different environment and they will be the leader and you the servant. And then another time it'll be a switcheroosie. And we want to recognize that and fulfill to be a blessing in that role, however it goes. Like in the play, you know, in the play, Jan's she's the one that writes the play. She's the one that directs the plays. And I'm under her in the sound booth, and I want to follow her wishes. Now, when we get home at night, then we have a knockdown, drag-out fight, you know. And she wins every time. And so, you know, arm wrestling. Huh? Ed, you want to cut that part out. Thank you, Ed. You're doing a good job up there. Okay, and so it says, hath the Lord spoken indeed only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Okay, there. That second question is the issue. Often when somebody complains that somebody is a dictator, they're upset because they're not the dictator. They want to be the dictator. Not always, but there's a case like that. And sometimes somebody's a real dictator and you just say they're a dictator. Okay, that's different. But this complaint is, I would think she's wanting some attention. Okay, hath he not spoken also by us? Well, sure he has, but he hasn't spoken to Israel through you because he's chosen. And she agreed in the agreement in Exodus 20 that we're going to have Moses go to him. So you agreed with that, Miriam, as a body of people. You need to stick with your agreement. Okay, then and the Lord heard it. And of course he heard it. And them two back there are conspiring right now. I could tell it. So, what? I don't know. Let's see, where do I put in there? Cross-reference. Now's not the time to ask questions. I don't know if it's the same one. Because Zipporah was an Egyptian.
Well, no, she's the priest, the daughter of the priest of Midian.
Oh, yeah. Just stay out of my preaching. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay, I don't know. I haven't researched that one. I have to. Oh, you were discussing it. Okay. Okay, what'd you figure out?
We don't know.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. Okay, so it says the Lord heard it. In parentheses, added thought. Okay, the story, the narrative goes to verse 4. The Lord wants an added thought in this parentheses. And this comments about Moses. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Who wrote that down? According to Scripture, Moses wrote that. And he probably put his pen down and said, huh? Are you serious? That's the first time the word meek is found in the Bible. Okay, and there's another parallel with Jesus. So there's another one on our list. Moses is the first one that was said, the Bible says was meek. And then Jesus said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So we have another parallel with Moses. We can keep a list of those. Okay, so this tells us, here's a man who is a commander-in-chief, you know, a military leader of 600,000 soldiers. Moses was 3 million people. And God said he was meek. Often our definition of meek is wrong. Okay? And the Lord's reading this man's heart. So that's quite a comment about him. Above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. So we can't read the people's heart. You know, sometimes a leader, you know, in his heart, he very meek individual. Okay, so after the Lord heard this, verse 2, that's the narrative. Verse 3, he jumps down. The Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. That's about like saying, you come to the principal's office. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. It called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Oh, boy. 3 million people probably knew this was going on because they saw the pillar, they heard the voice, and it says, somebody is in deep trouble. Miriam and Aaron. Now, verse 6 is inside this narrative. It shows how the words of God were given prior to written revelation. This is a verse that I often reference, Numbers 12, 6. And he said, hear me now, my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. The implications are Moses is the prophet. In other words, Miriam, not you. Okay, and so sometimes people mock us King James Bible believers saying, where was the Bible before 1611? Okay, they say stuff. Where was the Bible for 2,500 years? From Adam till Elihu. I think he probably wrote Job around 1800, 1700 BC. You just take that from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob, Esau. Esau's firstborn son was Eliphaz. And just run the math. Abraham was about 200 BC. And then you got those three. So you're talking about 1700 BC before Job, the book of Job was written by Elihu. So we're talking 2,300 years where there was no written Bible for anybody. How did God make his words known to him? Verse 6 tells us, dreams and visions. Illustration, Genesis 12, that's how I talked to Abraham. Genesis 20, that's how I talked to Abimelech. Okay, you'll see that all through the Old Testament. God made his words known to a man through dreams and vision. Dreams, basically, if they're sleeping, a vision, possibly be awake. Okay, but that's how he made his words, W-O-R-D-S, words known to a man. Okay, so there it is. And God made them known to somebody. Okay, back to the idea. My servant Moses is not so. So Moses is a very unique individual, and God is telling them that, his brother and sister. Who is faithful in all mine house? Wow. That's quite a compliment. The Lord is saying he's faithful. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. Even apparently, he said, I'm not talking to him through dreams and visions. It's mouth to mouth, face to face. And not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. They just got a chewing out. And how do you think Moses felt about that? Okay, if he said he's a meek man in verse 3, I don't think Moses enjoyed this for his brother and sister. I don't think he reveled in it. I don't think he came out and said, tone this down. I think he felt bad for him. And he just said, I didn't ask God to do that. And that's where his meekness stepped in. Okay, then the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. So that implies she was the instigator. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. What a shock. How quick that can happen. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord. Oh, kind of a little different attitude there. Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly. He accepted his wrong. Okay, he accept and he's interceding for his sister. And wherein we have sinned. So he's not blaming Miriam, even though it appears she was the instigator. So he's not putting all the blame on Miriam. He's taking his part of it. So he was an enabler, is what he was doing. He was enabling her. Maybe looking back on it, he probably said, I should have said, Miriam, you need to kind of back off on this. Maybe so. Or he was just silent. Okay, and then he says, let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses, example again of Moses' meekness. Moses cried unto the Lord. Okay, crying unto the Lord is yelling. Crying out, like a kid crying out for help. He cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. He begged the Lord. That's a good brother. Okay, and so the Lord said unto Moses, and you can see by this comment, the Lord is still upset. He's still bothered. If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be received in again. So, 3 million people, camping trip, stop for 7 days. And everybody knew the reason why they were parked for 7 days, because Miriam said something about her brother. Now, people say, well, I want God's clear direction. Boy, if we had that, boy, would we get embarrassed about all the things we've done wrong. Okay, and so there they are, parked there for 7 days because of Miriam's and Aaron's sin. And verse 15, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And no doubt when she was brought in again, she had a different attitude. Okay, but that's with a lot of benefits, what comes with benefits is a lot of responsibility. What comes with freedom is responsibility. And then it says, and afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Okay, then, so this would be, perfect timing for us to go to sleep, to read all those tribes. Okay, but there's something in here. What I find interesting too here in there is chapter 13. So it's probably going to be, okay. And in verse 13 is the tribe of Asher. Okay, and there's something about that. And then so you got these 10 spies, these 12 spies in chapter 13. We'll just give a, like they do, a teaser for the next time. So we got 12 spies. And it says in Proverbs 10, verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed. Okay, the name of the just is blessed, and the memory of the wicked shall rot. The name of the right, something like that. Okay, and so the idea is the memory of the just is blessed. Why don't I look at it? Proverbs 10, verse 7. Just what I didn't think. Okay, the memory of the just is blessed, and the name of the wicked shall rot. So, does anybody know anybody in America named Benedict? Okay, because our culture, Benedict Arnold. Now, you got a pope named Benedict, but that's a different culture. Okay, and so when we go back to Numbers 13, there's the 12 spies that were told to go in. Okay, verse 4, does anybody know anybody by that name? Shamuel. Okay, and we run down through there. You have verse 6, Caleb. Yay, I know somebody there. And verse 8, that's another way of spelling Joshua. They just left off the J. We know somebody there, but all the rest of those, going to be rare to find that, because the names of the wicked shall rot. So that's chapter 13, and we'll work on that next time. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray and ask you to help us to be good students of your words, enjoy your words, see the responsibility in your words, see the humor of your words, see the seriousness of them, and help us to know how to apply them in here in 2023. In Jesus' name, amen.